Ready to go? Okay. Good morning and welcome to West End Church of Christ. It's good to have everybody with us this morning. And we are doing our wrap-up on excellence in praise and worship this morning. Been doing this class for a quarter, and I appreciate Travis filling in for me here over the course of the last few times I was supposed to teach. Glad to be feeling better and good to see everybody out tonight. We got a lot of folks that are, you know, out of town, but then we've got some visitors with us this morning too, so we're certainly glad to see everybody that's with us this morning. If you've got a book, well, just you can kind of thumb through it, I guess, as we go through some of what we're going to go over this morning on the wrap-up. And hopefully, you know, you'll be able to recall some of the things that we've talked about and actively participate in our review this morning. But Travis, if you don't mind, who's got the microphone back there? Matt's got it. Would you do the opening prayer for us? He does. I know.
Everyone's a comic. All right. Let's pray together. Our Holy Father, it's a blessing every time we get the opportunity to assemble, and that's certainly no different this morning. We have the chance here to take some time to study your word together and our fellowship of learning. We are very thankful for that opportunity. We're also very thankful that you've preserved our health and given us this freedom to do this morning. We pray as we go throughout this class and through the rest of our lives that we do not take for granted the times that we can assemble and study, recognizing the great value that we have in this. Not only do we learn more about your word, we learn more about each other. We learn about our own strengths and weaknesses, and we get better. And that should be our goal, to continue to improve, to become more and more like you, to try to embody your character. And particularly within our praise and worship in this class, we pray that we are able to see the examples we see in your word, that we see their good parts and see their failings and learn from each of them, that we condition our hearts to fill them with gratitude and recognition of the debt that we owe you, that our faith is not just a strong belief, but a service to you and loyalty to you and an obedience to you. Because, Father, you are our God, you are our Redeemer and our Savior, and we're very thankful. So we pray that we give you all of our best in our worship. Father, lead us in this class and through the rest of this service and help us to give you our very best. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Oh, let's see. Did you have the slide up there? Did I accidentally hit the button or something? Whoops. I did. My bad. Okay, there we are. So the first thing I want to just ask you, and so there's no right or wrong answer, and this is not going to be, we're going to run the microphone to you and for you to have to give an answer, but these are short answers, hopefully, that you can shout out and let me know. But with regard to just the thought of excellence and praise and worship, if in a really short way you could say to me, what have you taken from this class over the course of the last 3 months that you're going to try and do some things differently as you move forward? Anybody got anything they want to share? And, you know, if I miss you on my peripheral vision here, just say, hey, you in the red coat. Anybody? LR? Okay.
And there is a checklist in the sense of being integrity to God. There is that. Making sure we're doing things in spirit and in truth, right?
Okay.
But we got to remember, in spirit and in truth means within our hearts.
Okay.
And yes, there is the checklist that's making sure we're doing this right and this procedure right and this right because God wants it a certain way.
Right.
But are we doing it because it's habit or are we doing it because it's from us?
Right.
And that's, I think, the biggest takeaway on it is sometimes we need a refresher on that, that, hey, this is not habit. This is not a habit of doing, yes, tradition, it's also Bible.
we have scripture and we have that, but it's also our sincerity, and worship means from the heart.
And when I get to that part of the review, I'll just skip that part. So you did a great job. But it's true. I mean, it's true. It doesn't need to be just some rote thing that we do. Okay, we're here at the building and here's what we do. It needs to be a heartfelt, with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, kind of worship. Anybody else? That's good. Thank you. Anybody else?
Just to individually strive hard to make my worship worthy of the God that I'm worshiping.
Okay. Individually strive to make your worship worthy of the God that you're serving. Come on over here. Is that microphone working now? Yeah, you're going to have to run with me, man. So I think that's a great comment, Mitch, to individually make your worship worthy of the God that you are serving. And then we've got Brian over there. I think that's great because it's that individual effort that we give that collectively makes our worship as a church what God would have it to be. Brian.
Mitch and I are thinking on the same lines, but something I'd like to try to start doing more of, because I don't do it hardly at all now, is preparing myself before I come here. I mean, my mind from the minute I wake up to the minute you start talking on Sunday morning is racing with a million other things of work and family and deacon stuff, just everywhere.
Right.
I'm not mentally prepared. And when someone stands up here and said, let's focus our minds on the Lord's Supper, I'm still, at that point sometimes, I'm still not ready to focus my mind. I want to try to get up earlier, ready myself mentally, not just put clothes on and come to church.
Yeah.
And yeah, to be able to focus, and I think Mitch and I are kind of saying the same thing.
Well, you and Mitch, and that really dovetails in with what LR's saying too. Because if we're not careful, it's real easy to just, all those things are good things that you've got your mind occupied with, but it's not what's right now that we need to be thinking about. And that's a good point. And I think, you know, not just on Sundays or Wednesdays, that needs to be that way every day. And that's, you know, if we try and do that every day and prepare our minds for who we are and what we are and how we're going to go about serving God that day and let him be reflected in our lives, that goes into the royal priesthood section of what we're talking about in our review today. And if we are to be that royal priesthood that God would have us to be to the world for him, then that's the way we've got to prepare ourselves and the way that we think and do. Anybody else? Those are great comments. Anybody else? Okay. I'm sure there's many more thoughts there. But so anyway, what is excellence? When you think about excellence in praise and worship, we've talked about some of the things here that the guys have said. But what do you think about when you think about excellence in praise and worship? What does excellence mean? The best. Doing it right. And to the points that have already been made, that's what we need to ask ourselves. Are we giving God our best? And here's what I would say to you too. If you got a pen and you got paper to write it down on, I want to challenge you to ask yourself this question. Okay? And the question is, what am I going to do better to improve my praise and worship in 2022? What am I going to individually do, to Mitch's point? What am I individually going to do to recognize who I serve and why I serve him and make it better in 2022? Because if we don't intentionally work toward trying to make something better in our lives, does it just happen? No, it doesn't. So we've got to be intentional in the way that we look at. And we talked about excellence again before, but it's, you know, it's to be in profession, it's to give our very best, to be proficient in something, in excellence. And so we need to think about whether or not we do that with regard to our relationship with God. And then when we think about praise, it is, why are we praising God? Because we're showing our gratitude and respect for him. We have the opportunity to do that when we sing songs. Is there anybody that ever comes up to you and says, please, don't sing so loud? You ever had anybody come up in worship service and say, please don't sing so loud? Travis gives himself a hard time all the time, but he does not restrain his volume. Even though he's not concerned. He's concerned about God and doing the best he can with how he sings in praise and worship to God. So what are we doing with regard to song? There's an opportunity for us to show in song our gratitude for God and praising him. In praising him, we also have an opportunity to show gratitude and the attitude that we have, and that goes back to some of the comments that the guys have been making. And it's also, it shows that we've got a commitment to the truth. The songs that we sing, the words that they say, that we believe what those words say. And several times during class, what we've done is we've looked through some of the songs and we've looked at the words. And again, I think it's one of those things where, to LR's point, it's real easy to overlook the words and just be going through the motions because we've sang them so many times before that we really don't think about what those words mean. And we don't really think about how we are committed to what those words say. And with regard to worship, oops, too far. Again, it's a reverence thing. It's the devotion that we have. It's the awe that we feel toward God and to show him honor, to make sure that our thoughts are reverenced, that our minds are reverenced, that our actions are all showing reverence to him and his power. And why do we do that? Why do we do that? And LR, that's all I was said there. Are we going through the motions? Psalms 156 says, "Let everything that has breath praise the Lord, praise the Lord." Colossians 3:16 says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in us richly in all the things that we do, in songs and hymns and spiritual songs, giving him the praise, honor, and glory that he deserves." And then John 4:24, "God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and truth." And so as we think about our worship and we think about all the things that we're going to do, these are the three sections that Travis outlined in the book that we have been studying over the course of the last quarter. So the first thing that we're going to do is we're going to go to the come into his presence section. And so who is God and what is God? Who and what is God? What did he say? What we said, he's three O's. What are they? Omnipotent. Yeah, the three O's. Omnipotent. He has unlimited power. Omnipresent. He is everywhere. He is omniscient, and he knows everything. He is all-wise, all-seeing, all-everything. And remember the question that I posed to you when we talked about these things. One of the questions I said was, God knows everything I think. Can that be a scary thought? To think about the fact that God knows everything I think, Mitch? That means I better keep my thoughts in check, right? They need to be focused on what God would have me to do and who God wants me to be in the way that I conduct my life. And what does God know? While we pray to God, he is capable of answering it. Do we always get the answer that we're looking for? No. Does it always come in the time that we wished it would? No, it does not. But does he hear us? He knows everything about us. He knows what our needs are. And if we believe that, and we understand that he has unlimited power, and that he is always present everywhere, and he's all-knowing, all-wise, and all-seeing, then why would we not pray to God for strength and comfort and reassurance for the things that we know we need to be praying for to make our lives what he would have them to be? Matthew 7:7 says what? What does that one say? Y'all remember? Knock, and the door will be open. If we don't knock, if we don't pray, if we don't go to God and petition him, how can he know what our needs are? You know, when we did the introduction, I threw that slide up there. And when I think about the power of God, see where Earth is in comparison to everything else in our solar system, and then the sun, and how God put it all in motion to make it work the way that it does, for us to have oxygen and gravity and seasons and life. Did that just happen? No. God spoke it into existence from the beginning of time. And if we just look at that, there's so many things that we can look at. But if we just look at that and think about who He is and what He is and what He's done, we can understand the power of God.
Jim,
yes, sir.
I was reading some trivia questions this weekend, and one of them is, how much bigger is the sun than the earth? Do you have any idea?
No. How much bigger? Oh, wait a minute. Hey, Matt's coming.
That's the question. How much bigger is the sun than the earth?
Okay. Do you know?
Well, the book says 330,000 times bigger. Now, was that an accident?
No.
Okay. That's all I got.
I mean, is there anything that's an accident in what God has done? And no, everything God has created is perfect. It's man that messes up. And again, that's kind of what I was going for in this next slide here. He has done everything that is perfect for us. If we look at Genesis 1 and 2 and we think about what He has done and what He has created for us and the fact that He's created us. You know, He gave us free will to decide whether or not we would choose to serve Him. He gave Adam and Eve everything they needed. What did they choose to do? What did they choose? Huh? They chose sin. They chose to be equal with God. He told them what the rules were, and He's told us what the rules are too, and we've got to decide. Is God happy with what He has created when He looks at me? I think that's a question we all need to ask ourselves. And it goes back to what you're saying, Mitch. Is God happy with what He created when He sees me? That's a very personal question that nobody can answer but us individually. Because everybody can have, you know, an impression of what they see from us, but we alone know us better than anybody else does. LR's got a comment. Matt? Man. LR, he will be there in just a moment. But, you know, I can only answer that question, and it has to do with what I do every day, how I represent Him, again, as I think of that royal priesthood and all aspects of my life. Okay.
Now we know the secret why Matt's so thin.
Yeah.
I think about sometimes, and this has been a struggle for me, I think about when God looked in Genesis at the human race, and he repented that He had made mankind. He was sorry He made mankind. And this is something as I'm getting older, I'm thinking about this. If I was just the only case that He was looking at, would He feel that way?
Oh.
Would He feel that way about man, about me, myself?
Yeah.
And that's something that's been in my mind a lot, is thinking about that, about how He saw mankind then, and He sees me as an individual. Would He feel that way?
We certainly need to be thinking about how God sees us individually, because that is such an important aspect of our salvation and our representation of Him while we're here. But it is also, it has impact on this church. And why does it have impact on this church? Why? We are the church. We are the church, as Earthel said. And if we are walking in the light, then we're all going to reflect what needs to be done for Him in helping to represent the truth in the world the way that He wants us to do that. And if I'm not excelling in my worship, how am I going to fix that? If you're not doing all that you could or should be doing, if you don't even recognize it for what it is, how does it change? Dale says you need to pray about it, and then I'm going to add to it, you need to fix it. You need to figure out what you do to need to change and make it the way that it needs to be. So, fill in the blanks. We worship God because of who He is and what He's done. His almighty power, His majesty, shows us who He is and what He has done. 2 Peter 1:3 says, His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who, what? Who called us to His own glory and excellence. He called us. It's whether we answer the call or not. And again, that's a decision that we have to make for ourselves. A couple of other scriptures to think about with regard to this thought. In Matthew, a couple of places there, we think about the love that we have for God first and foremost, and then how we're supposed to love one another. We think about in Matthew, the 5th chapter, in verses 23 and 24, how He talked about reconciliation with a brother. So should I have anything against Ryan Downey and be able to come to this worship service and my worship be what it needs to be for God? No, I can't. It says I can't. So how do we work through issues that we have with each other if we have any issues? What do? You go to that person and you talk about it and you work through it. Because we have love for each other. There should not be anything that stands in the way of our relationship with one another if we're truly going to love each other the way that God loved us, because as God forgave us, we also ought to be able to forgive someone else. And, you know, think about the example of what people see in us too. Here's the comment that LR we were talking about in Isaiah, where God was displeased with the worship because it seemed to not be from the right place. It was just them being unclean and technically correct, but they weren't who they were supposed to be or what God wanted us to be. We can't abide in sin while we come into God's presence for worship. It can't be a part of us and who we are and be what God wants us to be. So again, we've always got to be committed to doing the very best that we can in what we give God when we come to the worship service. So when we sing, what should our singing be? Joyful? From the heart? Praiseworthy? The best it can be. The best it can be. You know, as a song leader, when I get up there and I lead the singing, or Matt or John or any of these other guys, I want to do my very best because I have that responsibility, but also because I want to try and encourage other people that we're all singing together. We're praising God. So singing needs to be our very best. Thanksgiving, when we come into this worship service with thanksgiving, thankful for what we've been blessed with, focused on what God has done for us because of who He is, the great God, a great King above all gods. There is no other God. He alone is our ruler and our King. Okay, so we are a royal priesthood. We are a royal priesthood. And who we are and what we are as a royal priesthood is driven by what? What determines how we are as a royal priesthood for God? Come on. Our love and commitment to God for the truth. What else? How is it manifested in our lives? Well, we got to be the kind of people that God wants us to be. If we're going to be that royal priesthood, we have to understand what we are, who we are, and what God expects of us. 1 John 1:9, and we're going to stay in 1 John for just a few minutes in some of the verses we're going to look at. But if we got to confess our sins, we've got to be faithful, and we've got to be cleansed and of the right mind so that we don't have unrighteousness in us as part of who we are to set ourselves apart. 1 Peter 2:9 says that we are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for His own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. What does that mean? As a royal priesthood, what am I supposed to be? What are you supposed to be? Servants. We're his representatives here on this earth for the kingdom of God, for the gospel, for people's passage or exposure to that relationship with him for eternity. So how are we doing? You know, we talk about excellence and praise and worship and being a royal priesthood. We have got to be committed to making our lives what God would have them to be. And, you know, I think it is a everyday choice. Brian, to your point, it's every day getting our heads where they need to be so that we are focused on what we need to be doing and how we need to be living and what needs to be going on in our lives. Because if we're not taking control of how the day starts, what takes control of it? Huh? The day. Absolutely everything else. Right? And everybody's busy and everybody's got a lot going on and everybody's, you know, got heavy schedules and things are happening and all that gets first place as opposed to us getting ourselves set and getting our minds where they need to be with regard to making sure that our lives are what they need to be that royal priesthood for him in our lives every day. So, if I'm going to be of that royal priesthood, then I've got to make sure that I understand God is God, and there is no other God before me. I don't put anything else before God, that God is truly first in my life, and it's reflected in the things that I do every day, and understand that he's all-powerful. When we look at what he created and what he has done for us, not only in this life, but for eternity. In 1 Corinthians 2:6 through 8, it says, "We speak wisdom among those who are mature, not of this world, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew." What's the mystery? What is the mystery? Mystery is salvation in Christ. And how is the world going to know about it if we don't tell them? Right? How does the world know about it if we don't tell them? How does that get reflected in our lives? Do you think you do a good job with that? How hard is it sometimes to just stop and have a conversation with somebody about God or their salvation? Yeah, you're right, Travis. He said it's not nearly as hard as we make it. Not nearly as hard as we make it. Personal example. Had a conversation with a young man, 32 years old, the other day. I've known this guy probably for, 8 years, probably. And I feel like I've always tried to be the right example to him. But I'm ashamed to say that I'd never really tried to strike a conversation with him before about his relationship with God. And this last conversation I did. Now, he's providing a service for me as far as work goes. But this last time, not nearly as hard as we make it to be, right? And so he was sharing a lot of stuff, and it was apparent that he wanted to have a conversation for whatever reason. And so I just really started going down that path. And I told him, I said, when you're ready to explore that part of your life that maybe you haven't before, then I'd certainly like to talk to you. I mean, if he said, well, I'm not really into that, at least he would have known where I stood 100% from what I said, not just from what I did, right? So if I'm going to be a royal priesthood on God's behalf and try and be the kind of example that I need to be for him, I've got to be taking that initiative every day. I've got to be working toward that being part of my life every day. You know, one of the other things that we talked about is, do you ever feel like you get in your own way of being what you need to be, what God wants you to be, how God wants to use you to help somebody else? Does anybody ever get in their own way? Am I the only one that gets in my own way? I do. But what does Galatians 2:19 through 21 say? What are we supposed to do? Come on, y'all. Y'all didn't eat that much on Christmas. What are you supposed to do? Galatians 2:19 through 21. What does it say do? What? Be in him. Be of him. What else are we supposed to do? There's something real specific that it says. Galatians 2. Say it again. Yeah, but I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. If Christ truly lives in me, what do people see in us? Christ. People should see Christ in us. How should people see Christ in us? How we live and conduct ourselves. The things that we say. The compassion that we show toward one another. You know, 2 weeks ago, it was such an outpouring of love and compassion from just everybody. If you had any exposure to the tornado at all, it was unbelievable. It was really unbelievable just how everybody was just showing so much love to people that were affected by that event. And as a Christian, you know, I stood on the porch of the house where I grew up on the morning of December the 11th, and I looked out in my neighborhood and saw literally, I don't know, 100 people or more, just everywhere doing things for other people, not somebody that they knew or not somebody that they felt any kind of obligation to, but just doing to help because they saw people in pain. As Christians, every day, we ought to have that kind of love toward not only one another as Christians, but toward others in this world where we can show them that Christ is being revealed in us, and we don't get so busy with all the things of this world that really don't matter, because if there's anything else that you could learn from a situation like that a couple of weeks ago, is the fact that it's all temporary and it's all going to go away. And 2 weeks ago, there was a lot that went away. Businesses, houses, gone. And there are people that lost their lives. There are people that didn't lose their lives. For the people that didn't, what was the most important thing about going through that event? Understanding that physical things don't matter. And you want to have your relationship with God what it needs to be. You want to live the way God would want you to live. You want to be the kind of example that he wants you to be. So when we think about the blood of Christ, we think about what was done for us through the sacrifice of God sending his son, the example that he was, the sacrifice to make, the fact that he was resurrected gives us hope of resurrection. And that is what we should focus our lives on and say, I want to be the best I can be to be that royal priest for God, to let my life reflect what God would have me to be. Denying myself, taking up my cross, following after him, and doing the very best I can to be fruitful for the kingdom of God. And then, couldn't do the last class without referring to Romans 12, and you could do 1 and 2, but Travis included it a couple of times in the book, so, you know, it doesn't make me feel bad about including it in this summary here, because it truly is this transformation that we are to be, to make things what they should be in our lives. Do not be conformed in verse 2 to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That's what we're talking about, is every day doing the best we can to say, we understand what happened. We understand the sacrifice that was made for us. We understand at the foot of the cross that the greatest gift was given to us that we could never have without having a relationship with God. And that relationship's available to everyone. It's just those that are aware of it and have entered into that relationship have a responsibility to try and share it with others. And that's who I'm supposed to be as a royal priest on behalf of God, on trying to let my life reflect that to the very best of my ability. Wow. This class is, there's not enough time. So, again, we've got to think about the importance of being who we need to be, who God wants us to be, what He expects for us to be in our lives every day, and try and let that be reflected to the very best of our ability and the way that we show love toward one another and the importance of being who we're supposed to be for God. And again, we've pretty much talked about all of these things as we've gone through the summary. But ultimately, we've got the best example that we could ever have. All we got to do is just dig into it. All I've got to do is pick this up and read it and meditate on it and apply it to the best of our ability every day of our life. And that's how we will be what God wants us to be. And the last section, okay, Travis, go.
I'll try to make this brief. But if we were doctors and everyone had a universal disease and we had an unlimited amount of cure and we never offered it,
right,
we couldn't call ourselves doctors. If we call ourselves priests, and God, and through Peter and what he says that you're priests, then we have an unlimited cure for the disease that everyone in the world has. If we don't offer it, then we can't call ourselves priests.
Yeah. No. Yeah, and we've got a great responsibility as the royal priesthood. And so I don't know if you think of yourself in that way or not, but we all should. Because that's what he says we are and the responsibility that we have. So I guess I would say don't fear the responsibility. Don't, as you said a minute ago, don't make it as tough as we think it might have to be. And as we go into this last section where it said, where we're talking about when we praise and worship God, that we do it with all of our heart, with all of our soul, and with all of our mind. You know, we need to think about doing the very best that we can. And we've studied examples of others that did that. What better examples are there than Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and what they were willing to do when they worshiped God? Were they afraid of what was ahead of them or potentially ahead of them with the fire? Didn't seem to be. You know, the guys that delivered them to the fire burned up before they could even get them to it. And then, you know, the outcome was what? Well, and it didn't matter either way. And I think that's another point that we made before in the class. It doesn't matter what the outcome's going to be. We've got to do the best we can to be what God would have us to be. Psalms 42:5 says, "Why are you cast down, O my soul, and why are you in turmoil? Why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God." So many times you think about Paul being in prison. What did he do when he was in prison a lot of times? What? He preached. He sang. And he prayed. In prison. So generally, we've got it pretty good, and what do we do? Again, it's easy to make excuses, get caught up in this world, lose sight of what's important, and really not focus on what it is that God would have us to do. The other thing that Travis pointed out in the book and several times is that our worship is a response to God. Our worship is a response to God. And if we give him praise and worship with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our might, what does that response look like with regard to being a response to God? Does that make sense? What does it look like? Doing the best we can, giving the best we can, trying to give God all that we can and all that we do in the way that we live, in the way that we worship Him. How did God show His love for us? How did God show His love for us? Through Christ, through the sending of His Son to this earth to live as a man, to give the example, to die on the cross and be resurrected so that we too have hope of resurrection. We too have hope of resurrection. And so then how do our lives reflect that? Do our lives reflect our appreciation for that and our understanding of the sacrifice that was made and what was given for us? We've got to do the very best that we can every day in our lives to try and live in such a way that God knows that we understand what He's done for us and we understand what He will continue to do for us if we're faithful to His Word. So it's an ongoing relationship, but it has to start somewhere. So that's the other thing we were talking about. As royal priest, we've got a responsibility to try and bring other people to God. And you know, the things that you see many times when we talk about, you know, someone that's ready to obey the gospel, we think about the steps that are necessary for someone to have a relationship with God. But if we don't do as we should do as the royal priest for God, then how are others going to know of God and hear His word unless we bring it to them? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, and we've got to do the best that we can to make that happen and our life and in the life of other people too. You know, we think about the Philippian jailer, again, one of the examples that we looked at. He was ready to commit suicide because he was sure that after the turmoil took place in the jail that the prisoners all escaped. But Paul says, we're still here. He took advantage of that opportunity to teach him the truth. And then after he took advantage of that opportunity to teach him the truth, what did the Philippian jailer do? He says, I want you to teach my family too. And so the impact that they had because of the commitment that they made to be fully engaged with their heart, with their soul, and with all their might, even in prison, no matter what the circumstances, they were able to have impact on that family. So again, what kind of impact do we have on other people's lives in the way that they can see in us what we do in our lives? And Paul, when he was, you know, when he started out as Saul committing, you know, murder, when he was persecuting the Christians, he was 100% committed to his work until God showed him that his work wasn't what it needed to be. Then he changed to make it what it did need to be. So when we think about worship being a response with all of our heart, with all of our soul, and with all of our might, we should remember what it says in this verse. Whether it's right in the sight of God to listen to you rather than to God, you must judge, for we what? Cannot but speak of what we have seen and heard. Acts 19 and 20. And then also Peter says in Acts 5:29 and in 1 Corinthians 14, 24 and 25, we must obey God rather than men. Because again, it's about our priorities and what's important and what is not important. We have to decide for ourselves and what we're going to be committed to and how we're going to go about trying to live our lives every day. So, there it is. We've got to... Is there anything wrong with being emotional? No, there's not anything wrong with being emotional. Not a thing wrong with being emotional. It should be a part of who we are. And if we get so caught up in all the stuff that's in this world around us, we might lose that if we're not careful. And we don't need to lose it. It needs to be a part of who we are and how we live. We need to live by God's word and try and make sure that our lives are what they need to be every day. And God's got to be number one. God has got to be number one in praise and worship and providing Him excellence and living our lives as royal priests on His behalf in this world and then doing the very best that we can every day. That's what He expects of us. Wow. There you go. Thank you, everyone, for your participation in the class. Of course, new classes start next Sunday morning and next Wednesday night. We'll talk about that in the announcements this morning.